Seeking and Saving the Lost is our title today. Our text is Luke 19, 1 to 10. We're back in Luke after several weeks of looking at Paul's letters to Timothy. Jesus has been moving towards Jerusalem. At least in his purpose, he's been moving there in the theme, at least, in Luke. Luke is preparing us for Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem and what that means. And now, actually, physically, in reality, in our text today, he's just a short bit away, both in time and distance, from his entry into Jerusalem. He's approaching the conclusion of his time on earth. As Luke relates Jesus' story to us, he focuses on incidents that help us to see Jesus' purpose on earth. Jesus has just come to the city of Jericho. As he arrived near the city, he met a blind beggar who asked him if he could be healed. Jesus healed that man. This blind man had been crying out, identifying Jesus as the Son of David, the Messiah, the Savior. As we get to our text this morning, we find Jesus moving into the city of Jericho, and he has an interaction there, and we see this interaction that he appears to be ready for. Jesus is widely known by his reputation by now, and many people want to see him. As we get to Jericho, we meet one particular person. As we look at Jesus' interaction with this man, and as we hear his story, we notice something about how Jesus interacts with us. Our text is Luke 19, 1 to 10. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read this morning. Luke 19, 1 to 10, reading in Jesus' name. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this encounter that Zacchaeus had with Jesus. And as we consider what that meant for Zacchaeus, help us and guide us to see what that means for us as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have a seat. There are a lot of things that we look for in this life. Sometimes it might be just our car keys or our wallet because we're not sure where we put them. A company might look for someone to hire for a particular role. They might have a big search for that person. Sometimes as we look for things, we might know what we're looking for and why it's important. At other times, the what and the why are not necessarily as clear to us. As we hear about Reformation Day today, we're reminded that Luther, before that posting of the 95 Theses, that kind of is what we remember from today, the end of October. He was searching for something. He was searching for assurance. He knew God's word, but he was searching for assurance of salvation. And where can we find that assurance? Our text today has to do with someone searching. As Jesus is going through Jericho, he enters the streets of the city, probably not terribly wide streets, at least not for the crowd of people that's traveling with him and the people that are around him. There's a large commotion as he is traveling with a group that's on its way toward Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover festival. And others are, some are traveling with him, and others have heard about him and they want to see him. And so there's a large group of people traveling with him and around him and wanting to see him. For someone looking for him, it's hard to see through this large crowd of people. But there's someone who really wants to see Jesus. He really wants to see who Jesus is. His name is Zacchaeus. Now, as we think about the way this is phrased, that he wants to see who Jesus is, remember, there's no TV. You know, they're not pictures in a newspaper. So Zacchaeus doesn't even know what Jesus looks like if he hasn't been around him before. He even wants just to just get a glimpse of him. He probably even just wants to find out, what does this guy look like that I've been hearing so much about? Well, who is this Zacchaeus? The most common feature about him that we probably all remember is that he was short. That plays into the story here today. But he's also described to us as a chief tax collector, and he was very wealthy. Now, we could review, probably at this point it would be helpful to review what we know about tax collectors in those days. One of Jesus' followers, Matthew, had been a tax collector. It was the job of these tax collectors to collect the taxes for the Roman Empire. They would have the freedom to collect a higher fee than what was stated by the empire, and keep the rest for themselves. It was allowed by the government, but easily seen as stealing from the people. These men were often excluded by the rest of the community as they took advantage of others and were hated by them often. On top of this, that was probably something that was true around the Roman Empire, but on top of this, for the Jewish community, they were seen as traitors, serving a foreign government in subjugating God's chosen people and even serving a false religion. This may not have mattered so much to the tax collectors, as they were often very wealthy because of their jobs and what they could gain from it. And they didn't have the same struggles as many of the other people did. But they may have, from time to time, been searching for something as well. This man, Zacchaeus, was a chief tax collector, probably having responsibility over others. How many, I don't know, but likely having more wealth as well. But he wanted to see Jesus. There was some longing inside of him to see Jesus, to see this man that he had heard about. What would lead a wealthy, important man to want to see Jesus, to have this need to see Jesus? We might start off by thinking about his relationship with other people. Except for other tax collectors and others maybe of questionable professions, he was disliked by most other people. There certainly would have been something intriguing about this man who was different from the other religious men. This man who might actually talk to someone like Zacchaeus. I wonder if it was a desire for friendship that caused Zacchaeus to seek out a glimpse of Jesus. We don't know for sure what drew him, but we know that he was looking for him, he wanted to see him, and he wanted to see him badly. It wasn't just a case of, well, if I happen to see him, if he's coming past, you know, that would be nice. He really wanted to see him. And as I said, the characteristic that we know most about Zacchaeus is how short he was. You know, he gets his own song about that, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and right? I'm not going to sing all of that for you today, but that's what we know about him. He was too short to see above the crowd. It was harder for him to get a glimpse of Jesus. I don't know what his height was actually. We don't know. But evidently, he was short enough that he needed some other place other than the edge of the crowd to be able to see Jesus from. So he has a plan. You can maybe imagine Zacchaeus trying to, you know, catch a glimpse of Jesus. He's at the edge of the crowd here. He wants to see him. There's no indication in Scripture that Jesus himself was particularly tall, so it's not like he could just catch a glimpse of him over the crowd there at a distance above their heads. So Zacchaeus had this thought, I need to get up somewhere so I can see him. I need to get high. up on on some place where I can look down and see him. So he runs on ahead in the direction that Jesus was going. Maybe that was the only way to go through the city, or maybe Zacchaeus just took his best guess, knowing what the city was like. He went ahead of where Jesus was going to where he was at the time, and he climbed up in this tree. I guess I've always imagined him as being alone in the tree. Maybe he was alone, or maybe he had a bunch of kids around him, because they would be others that would be short and might want to take a look too. So maybe here's this short man with a bunch of kids who also can't see over the heads of the crowd to see this famous person. Zacchaeus might have even looked like a kid himself, perched up in the tree that way, this wealthy, dignified man, but climbing up in the tree like a little kid to see Jesus. Before we go on, here's something that we learned from Zacchaeus. Jesus is the type of person that people want to see. Not just casually want to see, but really want to see and get to know. That was not just as God, but his personality, his nature on earth as he was living as a human being. People wanted to see him. In Jesus' day, people were hearing about miracles, hearing about a great teacher, hearing about someone who cares about individuals. Not just healing people's bodies, doing that, but not just that, giving comfort to people. Maybe you've had the experience, or maybe you know someone who has had an empty spot in their life because they haven't known Jesus. Maybe trying to fill that spot with other things. Often, when someone is in a state of need and they don't know where to go, if they hear the story of Jesus, they look for him because it's a compelling story. There are stories about Muslims who have the sense that there's something missing in what they believe. And from time to time in some people's lives, they have a vision, even sometimes a vision of Jesus saying, "Find me. Find someone who can tell you about me." And they're directed in that way, to find someone who can show them Jesus. Jesus has that effect on people, even when we hear about him, especially if we're in a place of need and longing, and we want to find him, and we look for him if we're in that place of need. Sometimes people don't know what they're looking for. They just know that they're looking for something. And eventually, it turns out, when they come across the story of Jesus, that it was Jesus that they were looking for all along, even if they don't know it. In our text today, we find Zacchaeus moved by something in what he heard about Jesus and Jesus' activity that caused him to want to go and find him. Well, he found him. And he got up in the tree where he could see Jesus. Imagine his excitement as he's there in the tree. He sees the crowd coming that way, the crowd that included Jesus in it. Maybe there was something in some way that Jesus interacted with people that, even not knowing who it was, maybe he thought maybe he can pick him out in the crowd. Maybe Jesus interacted in a different way from others, or maybe the way the crowd was moving around him. He thought maybe I can tell which one is Jesus. Maybe he didn't quite know, but he was hoping just to get the sense of which one of those men in that crowd was Jesus. Let's picture this first from Zacchaeus' perspective. He's up in this tree hoping to see Jesus, and he sees the crowd coming along. As they're walking along, maybe some of the crowd is passing by the tree, and he's trying to pick out which one is Jesus. Maybe he's following the clues of what he's heard about him. And maybe he identifies which one of them is Jesus. Is he trying to get his attention? You know, does he want to have an interaction with him? I don't know. Maybe he's just excited to see him. Maybe he's leaning over the branch, trying to get a good look at Jesus, taking it in, watching Jesus' behavior as he goes by. But it turns out, whether he knew who he was looking for or not, he didn't have to guess which one was Jesus. As Zacchaeus is there watching the crowd, he sees Jesus stop under the tree. Imagine what he's thinking as he sees, whoa, wait, Jesus just stopped here? And now he's talking. Now he's talking to me. As Jesus talked to him and told him to come down, Jesus said that to him. He said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I need to stay at your house. So he came down at once when he heard that. And it just says that he welcomed him gladly. But in those few words, we hear about what happens in the next few minutes, and maybe a little bit more even. We get in those few words the picture of Zacchaeus coming down out of the tree and walking alongside Jesus to Zacchaeus' house, to his house. And we can imagine him going with Jesus to his house, and they get to his house and he opens the door for him. You know, being a wealthy man, did he have servants? Maybe he had servants. And he called out for one of his servants, or maybe a family member. Go get some tea, go get some crackers, go get some refreshments. Bring them out here for our guests. And he brings them out for the guest. I've got a guest here, a special guest, a very important guest, and I need to serve him. And he enters the house and they get ready to spend some time together. He welcomed him into his house gladly. And, you know, I guess we could get the sense that this procession now moves towards Zacchaeus' house, entering into his house. Now that's from Zacchaeus' perspective. But let's go back for a moment, back, and imagine this from Jesus' perspective. We aren't told here what Jesus' thoughts were as he was entering Jerusalem, as he was moving around along with this crowd around him. But think about his words to Zacchaeus. Come down, I must stay at your house today. There seems to be something intentional about that. Could we imagine Jesus entering the city of Jericho knowing the man who's looking for him? Knowing ahead of time that this man, Zacchaeus, is going to be looking? Does he have his name in mind already? Zacchaeus. I'm going to be meeting Zacchaeus today. Jesus is walking down the city street with the crowd and his followers around him. Does he know that Zacchaeus is looking over on this side of the crowd over there? Maybe Jesus even gets a glimpse of him as he's walking along, knowing what's going on in that man's mind over there at the edge of the crowd. Does he have the thought? I'll see you in a moment, Zacchaeus. Walking along a little later, he catches sight of Zacchaeus in the tree. Can you imagine Jesus thinking, there he is. It's time for this encounter. Nobody with Jesus knows his plan, but he knows it already. He doesn't say that specifically, but I think we can understand that he does. This is not a spur-of-the-moment thing for him. And he stops at the bottom of the tree that's holding up this short man. Zacchaeus, come down right now. I need to stay at your house today. When I got to Jericho today, no, it doesn't say this there, but think about this. When I got to Jericho today, I had a plan to see you. I've been waiting to meet you here. Let's go spend some time together. And Zacchaeus learned something. That when you really want to see Jesus, he's not hard to find. Because he's already looking for you. He's even looking for people who are looking for him but don't know that he's the one that they're looking for. So they get to Zacchaeus' house. They've been walking together and Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus and probably some of Jesus' followers as well into his house. Zacchaeus is wealthy. He probably has room for a fair number of people at his house. So Jesus and the others join him at his house. There are others around, though, who have a different reaction than either Jesus or Zacchaeus. Jesus has not only had conversation with this man, he has initiated friendly interaction with him and a visit to his home. Jesus is engaging in friendship with this man, Zacchaeus, not yelling at him to turn his life around. He's being his friend. We hear in other places where the religious leaders, the religious teachers have objected to Jesus' behavior in joining with sinners, which are from all sorts of different walks of life. But here, that objection to Jesus' behavior seems to be expanded so that almost everyone around objects to what they see. Maybe it was Zacchaeus' status, not just as a tax collector, but as a chief tax collector. Maybe he was more well known to a larger group of people. Maybe it was that that made them object to him. Or maybe it was more of this public display of Jesus interacting with this man that caused this reaction. But here's what they say. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. How could he do that? Maybe we can sense the thought process going on for these people. Why would Jesus accept an invitation? Well, actually, it wasn't even that he accepted an invitation. He initiated the invitation himself. Why would he initiate an invitation to the house of this man who has betrayed our people, who has stolen our money, and has led others in doing those same things? How can this good and righteous teacher and healer be friends with this man? We know the story, so we might think, oh, that's great for Zacchaeus. I like that Jesus did this for Zacchaeus. I wouldn't object to what he was doing like those people did. But that might be because this is his story. It's not our life and story. Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus because he needed Jesus in his life, even if he wouldn't have put it that way. People around us need Jesus in their lives too. And just as we have Jesus in ours, and many others don't even know that they need him. They don't even know it yet. And Jesus is already looking for them. And he wants us to be looking for them too. But just as we see with Zacchaeus, some people are easier to reject than to help Jesus look for. It's great for us to be excited about Zacchaeus. All that we know of him is this story. And we know how the story turns out. It's a happy ending in a sense. He hasn't done anything to us. He had only done things to other people, and that turns around by the end of the story. So we might get very excited for him, as we know the conclusion. But what about people that we do know? People that irritate us to no end? What about people that do disgusting things and talk in disgusting ways? What about people that we can see that their ideas are destructive? As Jesus is searching for them, it may be easier sometimes to say, they're too bad. They're too bad for him to do anything, rather than joining Jesus in his search. If only our community could be rid of people like that, we might think. In the abstract, it's easy to say, if we want to, yeah, I'm a welcoming person, anybody can talk to me. But when it comes to particular people, sometimes we might find it's a lot harder to actually act that way. And so we find that sometimes as Jesus is searching for people, we're not. In fact, we're ready to reject some people that are searching for him, even if they don't know it necessarily. So our first example of the fallen creature focus, if you're writing that down here, and if you haven't got it already, one of the things that we've seen already in today's text is that we all need Jesus to come into our lives. Our connection to him is broken to start off with. Another thing that would go down in that same spot of fallen creature focus is that we as broken people can easily reject other broken people, even when we've already found the solution. Maybe we have the thought, if they can be better first, then I can take time to help Jesus find them. But Jesus spent time with Zacchaeus. There's a very quick transition here from Jesus calling Zacchaeus out of the tree to Zacchaeus welcoming him, and then the crowds objecting to Jesus' action, and then Zacchaeus speaking. It might be easy to think that all of this happened at the bottom of the tree in a few moments, and it was just as they were heading away from the tree towards Zacchaeus' house that all this conversation happened. But really, we get the sense of some time progression here. Zacchaeus sees Jesus. Jesus sees Zacchaeus. Jesus invites Zacchaeus down from the tree and invites himself into Zacchaeus' home. And Zacchaeus says, hey, yeah, that's great. Come into my home. I accept your invitation to invite yourself into my home. Yes, please come. And then Jesus is in his home, and they're sitting down, and Jesus is having conversation with this man. There's a sense that this declaration by Zacchaeus happens after a longer time of conversation. We might get the picture that Zacchaeus is responding to the objections of the people as he tells Jesus what he's going to do. But it could be just as likely that Luke abbreviates the details of this story to highlight the contrast between the people's reaction to Jesus' action and Zacchaeus' reaction to Jesus' action. The people objected to Jesus joining Zacchaeus. In contrast, the reaction of Zacchaeus was one of repentance. Zacchaeus stood up. We get the picture that they were at his house and he was sitting down, right? Zacchaeus stood up and said to Jesus, look, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now, it's important to note that this is not something done to win God's favor. It's not like Jesus told Zacchaeus an amount someone would pay back, an amount that he needed to give to be forgiven. In the Old Testament, there was a requirement for theft of paying back. There was a four times the amount, but the four times the amount was how much that someone would pay back for a stolen animal. If they stole a sheep, they would pay back that sheep and three more, or a replacement sheep and three more. So four sheep would go back to the original owner. When it came to money, though, it was only a percentage, a small percentage relative to that, 20%. So if you took $5 from somebody, you gave back $6, not $20. So it's best not to see Zacchaeus' reaction here as one of paying a required penalty in order to earn salvation. One of the themes of Reformation Day is exactly the reminder that we can't do that. And even as we heard in our worship and giving verse about the rich man and Jesus' comment to him about giving him away all his wealth, that was really just a relationship of priorities for him. It wasn't like doing that could earn salvation. So it's better to see this here as Zacchaeus' response to his understanding of Jesus' forgiveness. Now, if you get distracted by the numbers like I do, you might be saying, well, you know, he probably should pay back the four times first and then give half to the poor, because if he tries to give half away to the poor first, he might run out before he gets the four. Anyway, that doesn't matter, but maybe you get distracted by that like I do. If you don't, let's just move on. The point here is that Zacchaeus recognizes who Jesus is and what he represents. He recognizes the wrong that he's been doing, and he is eager to give back to the people that he's been hurting. That's the effect that getting to know Jesus has on people. And what is Jesus' response to him then? Where the people around just wanted to reject Zacchaeus because he deserves to be rejected, don't spend any time with him. Jesus, on the other hand, spent time with him, took enough time to deliver himself to Zacchaeus, exactly what Zacchaeus needed. And it produced the repentance and forgiveness that he was looking for. So Jesus then can say, as an assessment of what has happened in Zacchaeus' life, today salvation has come to this house, to Zacchaeus and to his family, because this man too is a son of Abraham. A son of Abraham, meaning having the same faith and trust in God that Abraham did. Not being descended from Abraham, which he already was, but the true family of Abraham is those who trust in God. And Zacchaeus, the terrible tax collector sinner, was now part of that family. And here's the last part of that assessment for those who were ready to reject Zacchaeus. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That is really good news. In our natural condition, we are lost. Into this condition of being lost, Jesus enters. When we know that we are lost and that we are missing something, we seek after something. Many times that gets filled by all sorts of other things in life, but if we hear about Jesus and if we understand that he's who we need, we look for him. And isn't it great to know that he is already looking for us. Even as we already know Him, we still need to keep coming back to Him. And He's always looking for us. And the purpose of His looking for us is not vague or unclear. He's not looking for us to punish us, although we deserve it. He's not looking for us to yell at us, "You're rejected. You didn't do all the right things." He's looking for us to save us. To save us for Himself and for eternity. And He also invites us to join Him in looking for that for others. As people are seeking Jesus, He wants us to be the means to come and to find them. For Him not to reject them, but to bring them to Him to be saved. When we're in need of finding Jesus, may we come and find Him. And may we bring others to Him as well. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this story of Zacchaeus. Thank You for the wonderful interaction that he had with Jesus as he looked for Him and Jesus found him. Thank You that You have found us as well. Help us to be the means to bring You to others who need You as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.